Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia live from the Old Stone in the South Wedge to kick off your sports weekend. Let's recap what we saw last night from Boston. Lance Lisowski covering the Sabres for the Buffalo News in Florida now in advance of the Sabres game on Sunday against the Panthers. Lance, thanks for joining us. How are you, bud?
Doing well. How about yourself?
We're waiting for a win like everybody else, but did you take away the positives last night? What was the vibe last night in that dressing room following that game where, you know, the Sabres did show some life in that game, but they don't get the win, Lance, as you know?
Yeah, no, they sort of rediscovered the way that they need to play, but it was little consolation for them. I mean, on paper, if you take it for what it is, they played extremely well. The Bruins are a good team. Arguably the best team in the NHL at the moment. So you would think the Sabres would be sort of pleased with that, but when you consider that they've only won one out of their last 10, they've got sort of an issue with how they're playing right now.
Lance, let's focus in on the penalty kill for the Sabres last night. I think that was the glaring weakness last night for this team. The power play is really the only way they're able to score goals, and the penalty kill is really suffering here. Give us your overall impression of the Buffalo Sabres special teams here.
It's sort of bizarre with the penalty kill because that was an area of strength for much of last season. And, I mean, right now they're just missing Vladimir Sobotka. They should still be pretty good on the PK, but they just don't have any structure. They're doing a horrible job retrieving pucks. It's just little mistakes here or there. And, hey, when you're playing the Bruins, who have one of the top power plays in the league, they're going to capitalize. Now, I really liked what I saw out of the Sabres power play against Boston. I mean, they – credit to Ralph Kruger. He sort of changed their setup, Ristolainen, and is now on the top power play. He's sort of working as that net front presence, and of course, he scored his first goal of the season. And, you know, when they didn't score, I mean, that group really sort of generated momentum. And, hey, if your power play is not scoring at the very least, it's got to sort of give you a shot in the arm, which it did for the most part against Boston. So, you know, in one respect, yeah, head in the right direction, but that penalty kill is sort of a dumpster fire right now, and it's something that Ralph really needs to correct because Sabres, again, they continue to take some really bad penalties.
Talking to Lance Lisowski from the Buffalo News as the Buffalo Sabres on the road this weekend, Sunday, the 5 p.m. start in Florida. This week we heard the story, we saw the pictures of practice in the atrium playing soccer. Lance, what's that all about? Was that Ralph Kruger just trying to get these guys to lighten up? Is this a team right now? Maybe this changed last night, but that might be gripping the stick too tightly, as they say.
I don't know if it was even Kruger's call or if it's the guys just trying to do something different before practice. I think very clearly they're trying to sort of break up the monotony of the season and sort of just try to get their minds off of hockey right now because it's not going well for them, you know, at the moment. And credit to Ralph Kruger, whatever he did before that Boston game. You know, let's face it, they didn't allow a shot on goal for the first 12 minutes of regulation at TD Garden last night. So you got to like that. You got to like the response. And the one thing, you know, is I keep hearing people point to last season. Oh, this is just like last season. It really isn't, though. I mean, the Sabres aren't having the type of breakdowns defensively that they did last season under Phil Housley. They're much better at 5-on-5. The one part of their play that sort of concerns me or has concerned me over the last 3 weeks is just that propensity to sort of lose energy when they allow a difficult goal. And that wasn't the case in Boston. You know, they kept going. They didn't really get down on themselves. You're seeing a sort of a change in body language, particularly out of their star players. So there has been progress, but again, I mean, they're not going to settle for that. It's all about wins at this moment. And luckily for them, they were able to really bank some points in October. So they're still in somewhat of an okay position, but they got to get this fixed pretty quick.
Lance, I'm curious about the moves that the team made today. John Gilmore getting placed on waivers. What do you think the odds are that he clears and ends up in Rochester?
It's tough. I mean, luckily for the Sabres, well, I guess luckily at this point, he didn't really do a whole lot in the games that he did play, so maybe you know, teams that are scouting him or maybe keeping an eye out might be a little discouraged by the way he played, although it wasn't necessarily his fault. It's certainly a risk, but they really don't have any choice. You're not going to be able to get rid of Zach Bogosian at this point. He's ready to play. It wouldn't shock me at all if he's in the lineup against the Panthers or the Lightning during this road trip. It's sort of unfortunate. I mean, Gilmore deserved more of an opportunity than he got in Buffalo. Let's face it. He played well when he was given an opportunity in the preseason, of course. I didn't mind his game at all when he was actually in the lineup, but he didn't really stand out. Wasn't one of those guys who really generated the scoring opportunities. We'll see. Luckily for the Sabres, they do have some depth if Gilmore does get claimed by another team. He's a valuable piece, though, especially if, you know, you keep hearing these rumors about them potentially trading a defenseman. And let's say they trade somebody like Scandella or maybe the unexpected happens and Ristolainen is gone. You would have liked to have Gilmore as an option there. We'll see if that ends up being the case, though. So, of course, we'll find out by noon tomorrow.
Yeah, is the Amerks two games this weekend. The Sabres Friday are off. It's going to be a Sunday matchup in Florida. Our guest is Lance Osowski from the Buffalo News. Tuesday, you were there, Lance, where Jason Botterill said, they were actively searching for a forward. This is an organization right now that desperately needs a forward. We had Randy Sexton on with us yesterday, and he called the trade market constipated right now, that there just aren't deals to be had. Is Randy being on the level with us here, or could more be done here? What's your read here as to why there hasn't been a trade yet for a team that desperately needs help right now?
No, it's an accurate assessment. And part of it is that a lot of teams, probably 10 to 12 teams right now, are relying on long-term injured reserve for salary cap relief. Of course, the cap didn't go up as much as people expected this offseason. There just aren't a lot of teams that either have the cap space or that have the cap space to make a deal, or really, there's nobody really selling right now. Okay, LA is out of it. It's that point in the season where everybody thinks they got a chance, right? There aren't those teams that are selling. Even Minnesota, which is a struggling team, is sort of still floating around. And, you know, the players they have that could be available are all high priced. It's bad contracts out there. And it's not like Jason Botterill is going to be eager to take on a contract like Kyle Turris in Nashville, for instance.
Lance, I want to go back to that game against Minnesota, and that to me felt like a boiling point for Jack Eichel. You're around this team. You talked to a lot of the guys in the locker room afterwards. What was the reaction from the rest of the team on Jack dropping the gloves against Minnesota? And do you think that creates any kind of long-term effect or motivation for this team moving forward to see their captain, to see their leader do what he did? And, you know, anybody that you talk to, I think to a man, would say that's what leadership on this team should look like.
Yeah, none of them were surprised. I mean, Jack Eichel, I think, I mean, just from what I've observed, has taken a real step forward this year in terms of leadership. His play is consistent. That's part of it. He's got to set the tone. Your best player has to be your best player night in, night out. I think for the most part, he's done that. Of course, he's not perfect, okay? I keep hearing people point out the two defensive lapses in Chicago, some of the turnovers that he can make. But you know, when those turnovers happen, he can tend to try to do too much because he puts a lot of pressure on himself. He's the leader of that team. There's no question about it. Nobody was surprised. I think it was sort of the more surprising thing that came out of that night was Brandon Montour pretty much saying that they didn't have any energy. They were flat, and even though Jack Eichel went out and did that, didn't really have an effect. You got to like the response in Boston, but that's the one thing about this group that really sort of might have you concerned is just, why don't you have energy? You know, there's no excuse for that. You're in the National Hockey League. You're playing the Minnesota Wild. You're the Buffalo Sabres. You have no reason to overlook any opponent. You can't take anybody lightly, and if you're going to play like that, you have no business even, you know, contending for a playoff spot. So they got to get this thing corrected. And it's all about being that consistent, you know, not only on the ice, but you got to be level-headed, right? You can't get too high on yourself. You can't get too low. And I'm curious to see how they're going to navigate themselves out of this. Because remember, I mean, this is one of the things that we kept hearing about Ralph Kruger. He's a heck of a motivator. He's a leader. He knows how to, you know, get the most out of a group. This is NHL. I want to see how he handles it.
Yeah, in any team that's struggling, Lance, in any market, fan base will talk about lines. So here's a lines question. I'll ask it for your opinion. We've seen Olofsson. We've seen him try VC. Who would be the best guy to be up on that left wing right now alongside Jack Eichel, in your opinion?
I mean, it's Jeff Skinner, but you can't put Skinner with Eichel and Reinhardt. So the thing you have to try to do is to put Sam on his own line. Sam Reinhardt's shown that he can drive play on his own line. So I'm a little confused why we haven't seen that look yet. I mean, Jeff Skinner, let's face it, is much better with Jack Eichel. That's nothing against Jeff Skinner. It's nothing against Jack Eichel. Look at the numbers last season. I mean, at 5-on-5, I believe they had a +10 goal differential on a losing team. That's significant. And yes, if you put them on the ice, you need a stronger defensive presence on the right wing. So put Olsson over there. You know, put Vesey on the right wing. You know, you can put even Connor Sheary over there. I mean, there's different looks you can have. I'm just a little, I guess confused. It's one of those things. It's a look that worked in the past. You need offense. Those two clearly have a chemistry that is pretty unmatched at this point. Give them a look. Give them a try. Because at this point, you got to try something.
What's going to take for Casey Mittelstedt to kind of wake up his game? It feels like that's a, you know, maybe Mittelstedt and VC duking it out for fan, you know, the ire of Sabres fans. I mean, there's, it just feels like there's a consistent inconsistency out of both of their games.
Yeah, it's a really good question. You know, when you look at what, 4 shots on goal in the last 11 games, something like that, 5 shots on goal, he hasn't been good enough. And I mean, Ralph Kruger has put Mittelstedt on the wing a couple of games. We saw it again last night in Boston. And still, there's just these inconsistent shifts. The decision-making just seems to be a little off. It seems like he's overthinking his game. And now, I don't think we should overlook the fact that Mittelstedt was pretty strong at the beginning of the season. When he was on a line, when he had that continuity with Sheary and Jimmy Vesey, they worked well together. But as soon as, you know, Connor gets out of the lineup, things sort of get disrupted there. And then Mittelstedt's defensive play took a significant step backward. Maybe he's trying to generate offense, and that's why, you know, he was sort of overcompensating. It really makes you wonder, though, and I don't think he's going to Rochester. I think the Sabres are really going to try to stick this out, make it work, and maybe if you sort of juggle the lines around and put him with, you know, a center who can really get the most out of him, that would be something that works there. It's got to make you wonder, though. It's got to be concerning. Yeah, you got to like his response with it, though. He understands that he needs to be better. He understands what he needs to do to be successful. I'm not that worried about it because the guy can generate offense. You can see earlier this season when he had everything going, he was an NHL player. I don't think he's an AHL player at this point. Let's see if he proves me right.
Talking to Lance Lasowski from the Buffalo News as the Sabres back in action coming up Sunday. Lance, we talk almost every time. We ask, hey, when are we getting our coach back in Rochester, Chris Taylor? Now, Don Granato is back. Has Granato spoken to the media about what he went through? Because that's always a tricky thing when you're talking about health concerns and whatnot. And, gosh, what is the holdup here if Taylor isn't coming back here? Is it just trying to get Granato up to speed at this point? What is the timeline here for Chris Taylor to return to Rochester?
So Don Granato was requested by the Buffalo media, and Buffalo media was told no, but Don Granato ended up talking to Scott Burnside, of course, and revealed a pretty scary story. This is a pretty serious situation, as we all suspected after what his brother Tony told the paper up in Madison, Wisconsin. This is a serious situation. That's why it's taken this long. They want to make sure that Don Granato is 100%. For now, Don is watching from the press box with Mike Bales and another set of eyes. They're not going to rush him back behind the bench, and they certainly shouldn't, considering what the guy has been through. And, of course, Chris Taylor is a very trusted presence behind the bench. And I'm sure if you ask Chris Taylor, he's obtained just an invaluable amount of knowledge out of his experience with the Sabres. I would say it's almost any day now, to be honest with you. Don Granato wouldn't be on the ice for practice if he wasn't ready to take on that role. So maybe after this road trip, maybe after the weekend, we'll see. I would be surprised if Chris Taylor isn't back in Rochester sometime within the next 2 weeks, though.
Lance, let's look ahead to Sunday. The Panthers, the Sabres, looking to get right here and get out of this funk that they're in. Tell us what we know about Florida so far this season.
Excellent. Much better than the first time the Sabres saw them back in Buffalo. I mean, they scored 500 unanswered goals last night to win in overtime against Anaheim. This is a really good team, and this is kind of what the product of what we thought they would be after they hired Joel Quenneville. Tough defensively. We all know that they can score goals. They did that last season under Bob Buchner. So the whole question was goaltending, and now Sergei Bobrovsky sort of figured it out. The Sabres have to be at the top of their game. They've struggled against the Panthers, you know, for the past, you know, several years at this point. This is a team that if you want to be a playoff team, you got to beat the Florida Panthers
And then you got Tampa Bay on Monday. Tough test on the road. The Sabres got to figure this out. They're going to practice tomorrow in, I believe it's technically Coral Gables near Sunrise. So they got to figure it out. And the special teams, as you mentioned earlier, is a real key to that. You saw progress on the power play, the penalty kill. You can't afford to be in the box against the Panthers, that's for sure.
Lance, just get your thoughts on something, another big story from the National Hockey League is Calgary comes in Wednesday, and then it's Toronto. Heck, this time next week, the Sabres will be on the ice warming up for that Friday afternoon game. Toronto, what happened with Babcock? Was that necessary, or was that just an impatient fan base up in Toronto? What's your thoughts on what happened up in Toronto with the firing of Mike Babcock?
I'm more surprised about the timing of it. I thought that Mike Babcock wouldn't make it past, the summer. I thought that he would be fired as coach following that first-round playoff loss. We know that him and Kyle Dubas don't exactly see eye to eye. That's no secret. That continued starting with the preseason when Mike Babcock was scratching Jason Spezza for Spezza allegedly not being sharp enough on a penalty kill, which was sort of hard to believe at that point. Kyle Dubas Sr. is his own coach in there. It's just one of those situations. We all know how good of a coach Sheldon Keefe is. We saw it with how well the Marlies played against the Amherst in the playoffs last year. It made too much sense. Mike Babcock's a really good coach. I'm fascinated to see where he lands. Maybe it's Seattle. Maybe somehow he ends up back in Detroit. It just wasn't a good fit anymore. Maybe a change of message was needed. The Maple Leafs' best players didn't seem to be giving their best game night in and night out, and we saw, Keith's first game. They played pretty well. It's going to be a fascinating storyline. Keith has obviously been on the radar for a couple of years here, only 39 years old. I'm really, really curious to see what they look like next week because, new coach, and I think that that's sort of the trend around the league, though. After what happened with St. Louis last season, everybody thinks the coaching change is going to make the difference, see if that's the case.
Lance, always gracious with your time, joining us from Florida. Let our listeners know what you're working on for the Buffalo News here in advance of the two games in Florida.
Of course. I just had a story published on the Buffalo News website this afternoon on Brandon Montour, who grew up, he spent part of his childhood in the Six Nations Reserve in Ontario. He goes to Indigenous camps across Canada to work with young kids, Cody McCormick, who, of course, is a former Sabre. A little inside look at Brandon Montour. Nobody's really written anything more significant about him since the trade last February. And a couple other stories. I caught up with Eric Portillo, the next Sabres goalie prospect, who's out in Dubuque, Iowa right now. So I would tell all listeners to keep their eye out for that one as well.
Lance, I always appreciate your time. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon. Appreciate it.
Thanks, gentlemen. Anytime.
That is the great Lance Lisowski joining us from Florida in advance of the Sabres taking on the Panthers Sunday. And that's a game, by the way, you'll be able to hear on ESPN Rochester, puck drop at 5 o'clock. So
yeah.
Right after the Bills, we'll get you over to the Sabres so you can get Sunday full of action.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.